If you'll take your Bibles and join me in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. The book of Titus is an excellent book when you want to see how a church is supposed to be run. You know, there is a movement out there that is against the local church. And I just want to say this, that the local church is important. It's very important. I also want to say this too, a lot of people don't know how to run a local church. More and more now, churches are becoming kind of like a place that is almost like it caters to everybody. Do you know what I mean when I say that? You come in and you can go to a coffee shop and you can, you know, if you like this kind of Bible, you can go in this class. If you like this kind of teacher, you can go in that class. And it just becomes something where it's more of a performance than it is an actual ministry. I think that churches should be small. They should be something that when it gets too big, you send somebody out to go start another one. Amen? And when we have this kind of model that's laid out for us in the book of Titus, it really reflects on something very important. And we're going to get to that in a minute. But in Titus chapter 2, we have specific instructions for each kind of person within the family. But before we get there, I want you to look in verse 11. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, this is what we call the foundation. Specifically, if you make a side note, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, there's a reference there about there's no foundation that a man can lay outside what has already been laid, which is Jesus Christ. I want you to think about this for a moment. If you did not have eternal life, if you had no hope, no guarantee of going to heaven when you died, would you be a happy person? Would you be a joyful person? Would you want to bring children into a family in which there's not a guarantee of eternal life? On Wednesday nights, we have a lot of prayer. And recently, Trent has been praying for his little two-year-old son, Noah. What Trent is praying for is that he will come to the understanding of his need for a Savior. He's 2 years old. And already his parents are doing the most important work in his life, to bring him to the understanding of the gospel. I have a friend who has a 3-year-old daughter, and he's been very good. He and his wife both have been very good about teaching her that she's a sinner. And a couple of weeks ago, she was coming back from ballet, and she said, "Mommy, I'm a sin people." Whoa, that's like, you're telling me, you know? But she had come to the understanding that she was She was a person who sinned. And this is not an aggressive thing. It's the truth. Raise your hand if you're here today and you're a sinner. That's all of us. Well, she understood that. And a couple of weeks later, she said, "Mommy, I'm not a sin person anymore." And of course, her mother's like, "How do we know that?" She said, "Because Jesus died for me." She understood. 3 years old, she was able to understand that she was a sinner, that caused a problem between her and God, and that Jesus solved that problem. Praise the Lord for that mother and father. Amen? That have raised up that child in a way that can give her not just some fake security blanket, but the truth, that Jesus died for her. Now, as she gets older, she's going to learn more. But it's so important for us to understand that our Christian life doesn't merely just begin with our salvation. We continue through it. We continue through it. And it's a blessing to know that we're on solid ground. Amen? You ever tried to get in a canoe? Maybe you haven't since the last time you tried, because you tried. When you get into a canoe, you got to fully commit. Okay? I grew up, we went to state parks almost every weekend. My uncle would take me to the Hillsborough River State Park, and we would go, and it's not just me, okay? I was the oldest one. Let me tell you, I was the test child. How much can a child endure? You know, let's see. Let's try it on Jesse. And then Casey was a little less, and then Cody was just, he could do whatever he wants. I'm not bitter about that, but I still have some resentment about it. I'll be honest. Just kidding. I'm totally fine. We're fine. Fine. We're fine. We would go, and we would have to get into these canoes. Okay, and I learned very quickly, when you put that foot in that canoe, it is moving away from you. Okay, you don't have time to think, "Oh, I got to count to three before I jump with the other foot." You got a 1 foot, 2 foot, you're in. And then when you're in the canoe, y'all know this, butt down. Get the butt down. Because if you're up like this, it's over. And you'll flip it, and the park ranger's yelling at you, and your parents are yelling at you, and you're just scared. No, I'm just kidding. I don't have any trauma from that. But I learned very quickly that if I'm going to get in the canoe, I have to fully commit, and there is a step for me to do. And I knew that canoe was going to hold me up. I knew it was going to hold me up. Guys, it is the same thing with our salvation. And that leaks into the local church. We build on a solid foundation. And it's not something that we're asking you to start your salvation process and then you got to count and all this stuff. No, it's 2 feet in and butt down. Believe on Jesus Christ. You receive the free gift of everlasting life. You're on solid ground from that point for the rest of your life. I hear people say things like, I can't wait to start my eternal life. You're in it now. We have eternal life right now. It is our foundation. Look in verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. The Calvinists will say that, you know, God has to draw you. You know, there has to be this drawing, like, you know, God casts out this net in the sea. And because he's God, he only directs the fish that he wants to catch into that net, and all the other ones he leaves out. And so he takes the net and he casts it out and he draws all the ones that he was going to save them from the beginning, and the other ones are into eternal damnation, which we don't believe that that's what the teaching is. You want to see how salvation has appeared unto all men? You look at that cross. He was lifted up. We're still talking about him thousands of years later. Isn't it interesting that all the things that are going on in the world today, recently in Boston, I think in their town hall, they have 12 or 14 flags there, okay? And they let people come up and you know, they put a flag up there and there's no problem. All sorts of political agendas have had flags up there. But the moment a Christian organization wants to put a flag up, for the first time ever, they said no. And the Supreme Court ruled that that's an infringement. That's an infringement on our right. And guess what? The flag flew. But why is Jesus such a problem? Why is Jesus the one that is constantly ridiculed, constantly rejected? Have you studied his life? It was the same way when he was here. And we saw his attitude. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Many of the chief rulers believed on Jesus Christ, but they kept silence out of fear. He's been lifted up already. He's already been made known to the entire world. Right now in America, if you were to go ask 10 people the definition of the phrase John 3:16, they would know it's a Bible verse. They would know maybe even what it says. Our world today is so connected. Isn't it amazing that there are applications on your phones now where you can speak in your language and the phone will translate it into the language of the person that doesn't speak your language, and then they speak their language and you hear it? Our English as a Second Language class has a Spanish line that translates a Spanish voicemail into an English language, and my uncle can hear it and understand it in his language. Isn't that amazing? That's more than just so we can set up an ESL class. The gospel's going out the same way. Jesus has been lifted up. Salvation has appeared unto all men, but the time is ticking, and we are running out. I was just talking to Jay before we started the message, that now more than ever before, even in times where there were world wars and chaos and men were dying and people were starving, never before have we been in a place where our morality is so depraved as it is now. Folks, I don't even have to give you examples. You already have several in your mind. Just things are out of control right now. Medical students are learning how men can give birth. What? What? Seriously? I wish I was joking with you. You can read the literature. It's crazy time. Before, it used to be something where it's like, you want your kids to finish high school, you want them to go to college. That's the last place I want them to go. That's the last place I want them to go. And you're ridiculed for having a biblical opinion. You want to be able to raise your family and teach your kids according to the Bible? You're an extremist. No, we stand on a solid foundation. You know why this is a problem to the world? Because the world is against this message. Jesus Christ brings order and security. This world only breeds chaos. That's what it is. And people think that they enjoy being in chaos, but they need a solid foundation. And that's my first point of my message today. We need to recognize that our salvation is our solid foundation. Before we talk about any responsibilities within the family, we have to know for sure that when we die, we are going to heaven. I have a picture up here for you. I don't think I've ever showed this to you, but this is my mother in the Smoky Mountains, May of 1989. I think my parents got married in 1988, so they had at least a year before I came along. I was born in November of 1990. My mother unexpectedly passed away. That was not something that she planned on, dying when she was 36 years old with three boys left to be raised. Let me tell you something, folks. I didn't know it when she passed away, but I learned later. My mother's in heaven. And that's the greatest thing for me to know, because that's assurance. And then that got passed down to me. My uncle sat across the table with me. We could go to the table right now. I think my dad would be a little startled if everyone showed up at our house. But that same table is there. And we had this little ornate glass bowl, and it had bananas in it. And I love bananas. Because of this story, I was on one side, my uncle was on the other side, and he explained to me my need for a Savior. I'm going to guess that I was around 12 years old. And after I understood that message, he told me that my mother understood the same message. And Lord willing, if Kyle and I ever have children of our own one day, we're going to tell them the same thing, because we need to know where we're going to go when we die. She didn't plan on passing away at 36 years old of aggressive leukemia. Of which today, there may have been treatment for her to get healed. That's okay. Where she is, I wouldn't want her back. She's in the best place. But that was very unexpected. Very unexpected. And you don't know. You have no idea when your day is. Many times, people are just walking around living life. And all of a sudden, something feels weird. They go in for a checkup, and they have something that is terminal, and life is now restricted. Or people go out and they get out on the road and they get into an accident and they lose their life or their ability to speak or their ability to walk. Whatever it may be, life happens very quickly. And we would be fools to think that we could build something outside of Jesus Christ. And if you do build it, it's on sand, it's on rocks, it's on a type of foundation that when the winds come and the heavy water hits, it gets washed away, folks. But not the solid foundation of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen? And He rose again from the dead. And He ascended. And He is coming back. And if you look at the times, it's very, very soon. Earlier I said that the local church should be a reflection of something. And I want to share that with you now. Look in verse 1 of Titus chapter 2. So my first point there is that salvation is our foundation. And then number 2 is, we should be teaching sound doctrine. This podium up here is sound. It is built well. It is built to withstand the weight that is underneath it, pushing down on it, all these different things. It's built evenly. It has purpose. It is sound. The same type of teaching that goes on in the local church should be sound, not fluffy. We're not building doctrine that's like marshmallows or cotton candy. You remember cotton candy? So big. You take one bite. It's literally air. It's flavored air. A marshmallow, the same thing. There's not much in it. Most of the food that we buy at the grocery store today, there's not much in it. The local church should be a reflection of this. Listen to me now. The local church should reflect the family. And isn't it interesting that that's what's under attack today? The family. You hear things like this, the nuclear family. I don't know much, but when I hear nuclear, I don't get really excited about that. Where's the nuclear thing? I remember going on vacation and we went to a silo, a missile silo, deep down in the ground where they had these missile silos, and it was no longer in use. And I saw those shells for the warheads. That doesn't look like something you're going to bring to a dinner party. You're not going to bring over something nuclear, like a nuclear missile, to your new neighbors. Okay, that's something made for war. By the way, I'll never forget what I saw on the side of that missile, in that missile silo, in the missile casing. It had the Domino's logo. You know what I'm talking about? Domino's Pizza. And it said, guaranteed delivery anywhere in the world in 30 minutes or less. Hot and ready. I thought, yikes! Whoa! That's a guarantee right there. I don't know if I want to see that in the sky, you know what I'm saying? But you hear that phrase, the nuclear family. Let me tell you what the nuclear family is, because if you're not careful, you're going to hear that it's a threat. You're going to hear that it's a problem in our American culture. You're going to hear it's actually a byproduct of white supremacy. The nuclear family is two parents, a mother and a father. That's the nuclear family. That's the danger to our society. Are you kidding me? That's the danger to the world order. And that's being broken apart now. You have same-sex couples that are trying to do things that only come from a man and a woman, amen? And these things are becoming standard. And it's an attack. But if the local church doesn't know how a family runs, it's not going to be able to run itself. And this is what's happening today. You come to a church and it's like a buffet. Unfortunately, there's many times where churches have a traditional and a contemporary service time. Traditional for the old folks. Oh, y'all, just get on the train. Come on. And then contemporary for the younger people, where there's less doctrine. There's less doctrine. You know why? Because our young people don't have spiritually developed teeth. They got soft bellies. Because you know what the Word of God does? It brings you to your recognition that something needs to change, that you're out of line. And what's happening today in our culture, and please pay attention to what I'm saying here, is it is diluting the Word of God. I remember when I had to start working in the back building, working with heavy chemicals, okay? And I ordered a bunch of cleaning solution. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm thinking, it's a big bottle of Fabuloso. When I worked at Skate World, that's what I used all the time, the grape flavor, you know, scent. Okay, you know what I'm saying. And I used that, and it smelled good, and I thought, I remember how big that is. Well, now I'm buying real pH balance. All that. Michael, you know, from his own kid's mouth. What does mommy like? Carpet and tile. You know, carpet and tile, that's it. And baseball, bacon, sausage, you know. But Michael knows what I'm talking about. You buy that stuff concentrated. Okay, well, I didn't know. So I'm buying the same ounces as what it would be of Fabuloso, and six of these things. I think we still have concentrated soap back there, pH balance. We're good. I think we'll be good until Jesus comes back a second time. You know, if somebody finds this place in the tribulation period and they need to clean floors, there's plenty. And I'm looking at this product. I get the mop bucket ready. It comes in, and I'm like, this stuff must be fantastic because it's so thick. The bubbles didn't stop. I mean, I was stirring that stuff in there, and it was just swirling around. I could see it. It wasn't even like breaking down because there was way too much in there. Then I find out that all you need is a capful, maybe two. But you take that and you pour it in the water and it dilutes it and it spreads it around. The Word of God is concentrated. And what's happening today is there's way too much water being applied to it. Water of the world. Well, we can't say that anymore because of this. And we definitely can't say that because of that teaching. This will be the one thing that never passes away. Do you realize that? Heaven and earth is going to pass away. This word will last forever. God puts this above his own name, which at that name every knee will bow and every tongue will be stopped and confess. So as a preacher, as a teacher, as the illustrator of what should be done in a local church, we should teach the Bible, period. And that's it. And you may be wondering, what does this have to do with Mother's Day? It has everything to do with Mother's Day because parents, you need to know and understand that the Word of God is what you build. This is what you build your family from. but the world, but the persecution. Let me tell you about persecution. Let me tell you about rejection from the world. Welcome it. Don't go looking for it, but when it comes, you get deeper into this word. Isn't it funny that most of the Christian radicals, compared to the other radicals in the world, are quite harmless, peaceful? We're told that we have peaceful protests today when our cities burn. It's mostly peaceful. I used to laugh at that. I don't anymore. Because people are losing businesses, they're losing property. Mostly peaceful, though. We need to wake up. We need to smell the coffee that we just enjoyed about an hour ago and are now feeling, you know what I'm saying? We need to realize how precious and valuable the Word of God is to our church and to our families. But the local church should reflect the family, and the family should follow the biblical pattern for blessing and fellowship. Look there in verse 1. Titus chapter 2 and verse 1, page 1284 in a church-loaned Bible. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. If we're going to teach anything here at Calvary, if you're going to teach anything in your family, let it be sound doctrine. Now we have examples. We'll talk to the men here. That the aged men be sober, grave, and that does not mean that you look like the heads on Easter Island. Okay? Men, it's all right to crack one of these. Hey, laughing a little bit. You don't have to be like, home. I just wish I was fishing. You know what I'm saying? I'm here to cook breakfast. It was so good today to be in there with Jess and Steve, Michael, Jan, everyone that was, Dave, everybody in there. Zach cutting strawberries, cutting bananas. That guy cut up so many bananas. I was like, Zach, we're good, man. That's good stuff. But he did a great job. Decorated the thing there. I'm blanking on what that is. The cart. Decorated the cart there, and my nephews are doing head counts. We're getting all this stuff done. You know what the word grave means? It means respected. To be respected. If you act like a fool, men, you won't be respected. I think it's funny how most of the men in our culture today, as the older they get, they want to dress like teenagers again. You know what I'm saying? It's just kind of the way it is. And a lot of men, they don't know what the Bible says. It's a tragedy for their families. It's difficult to lead godly when you don't know what God says. And it's not an excuse. Go learn. Find somebody that will help you with those things. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in what? Faith, in charity, and in patience. I'm going to pause there and we'll pick that up for Father's Day. You know what I'm saying? That the aged women, finally aged, amen? Right? Likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. That word holiness means to be set apart. Ladies, I want you to know right now that you are extremely valuable to the family. You are extremely valuable to the family. Well, Jesse, all my kids are out of the house. You are still just as important. Well, Jesse, I don't have any kids. Well, that when the day comes that you do, you are extremely important. If you're a wife, if you're single, if you're a mother, if whatever category you fall in, ladies, you are important. You are the demonstration of holiness in a family. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing, amen? That's a good thing. There's all kinds of women out there. Not all of them are good. And let me tell you what's happening today. A lot of women are being taught to be a bad example. The movements that are going on right now, they're destroying what a woman is. A woman is not an object. A woman is not something that needs to be dolled up and ogled at by men. A woman is extremely valuable to God. Go read Proverbs 31, and you see how valuable a woman is. That woman knew how to buy real estate for her family. She provided clothing. She provided nourishment. She held up her husband, and her husband loved her properly. You know why the world says, oh, there's, you know, the nuclear family is a problem because men are so selfish. No, you know what, women? I can understand with you here. You know why marriage is not looked upon highly right now? It's because there's no good, godly men. There needs to be more godly men. There's not. It's a big gap right now. But the world comes in and starts to teach women things that are wrong. Continue on here. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. I'm so thankful that hopefully sometime this year my wife and I will have a child of our own. Won't be of our own flesh and blood, but I believe the Lord sent it. And we'll be able to adopt, I pray soon. And our profile is public, and we're ready to start sending over applications to expecting mothers and all those different things. But there was one thing that I prayed for the longest time, for me and for my wife, is that we would learn the joy of loving and raising a child. And that prayer, Lord willing, is going to be answered soon, and I praise the Lord for that. But the children that are in your lives, whether they're in your home or they're out of your home, you are to love your children. And let me tell you what is not love. Oh, just let them do what they want. Just let them do, you know, they'll figure it out. How many scars do they have to put upon their body before they figure it out? And sometimes, if we're not careful, we put our kids into more harm than maybe a strong word will help correct them. Let me tell you, I grew up in a family of strong word. Now, I'm not talking about cussing. I'm talking about when something was said, you knew it was said. Amen? There was nothing like hearing when you're messing around with your brother and you're punching him and you're... This is the silliest thing. Let me tell you about this. This is what me and my brothers did because we didn't have iPhones. We didn't have video games and all that stuff. We would do laundry, okay? And you know when you get the socks and you fold them out and they become a pair of socks, you know? If you got a good sidearm and you can get some RPM on that hand turn, that sock can get somebody in the eye and it'll make them go like this for a bit. My room was right here in the hallway. And Casey's was right here and Cody's was right here. We would get our socks and throw them at each other in the other room. I was never the one that went, "Casey, stop!" But that's what my brothers did all the time. I would get a few good ones in there, get Casey right in the throat, acting like he can't breathe. "Jesse, stop throwing socks at me." That's all it took. "Jesse!" Put the little socks away. I knew what a strong word was. And my dad was very stern with me. He told me what was right and he told me what was wrong. Now, I'm not saying because I threw socks that I was a messed up kid. But when I got into high school and there were a lot of things going on in my mind, and let me tell you something, I'll be an example of this. Some of the things that I heard that I was told to do came right from my public school, from my guidance counselor's office. Things that my parents didn't know were being said to me. Little seeds planted in my mind that now challenged what my father said. And I would come home and act out a certain way, and I would be disciplined, rightfully so. But folks, it's happening. And if we want to love our children, that means protecting them as well. The Lord does the same for you. God's not this, "I'm your friend first, and I'm your boss second" kind of God. He disciplines you out of a perfect and holy love. So we ought to model the same thing after the way we raise our families. And we shouldn't say things like, "Wait till your father gets home." If your child disciplined or disobeyed you, you're the one that carries out that discipline. Here's what happens when we don't do that. You become the tester, mom. You become the tester. They test with you, they test with you, you give the command, and then here comes dad. Now dad's just the hand of discipline. This is how kids raise up and they end up being rebellious. We're supposed to love our kids. Pray with them. Love them. Get your hands on them. Hold them tight. Let those kids know that you care. "Well, he's a boy. He don't need a hug." Give him a hug. It's fine. You know what I'm talking about? Then when he gets older, you get that fist bump. I got this thing going on with my nephews. Their hands are getting big enough. You know what I'm saying? Get right in there. Bah! Get that in, like this. Boom. And that's a thing, man. Do that with Steve every time I see him. And every time I see him, we try to get that good, you know, that good release of air. Man, you know what I'm talking about? Where it's like a clap of thunder. Like, whoa, Steve and Jesse have united. Boom. My parents were like that. They loved on me. They cared for me. And I knew I was safe and secure with them. Mothers, I want to encourage you to be the same way with your children. Love on them. Care for them. Teach them sound doctrine. Live in a way that you can be easily respected by your children. Continue here in verse 5. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. Oh, here's what the feminist says. They only say we're good for at home. Nobody said that. But a woman has incredible value in her home. I was reading a commentary that did an excellent job when it talked about this verse. Because a lot of people, and I can see how people come to this conclusion because there's been a lot of preaching about it. There's nothing wrong with a woman going out and having a career. Look at the Proverbs 31 woman. Here's the problem. If the career replaces the responsibilities at home. I'm going to speak plainly here. I heard some very strong language about the Supreme Court's draft that came out recently. And here's what I hear. I heard a lady come on a show and she talked about why she really thinks that abortion is a good option. Okay, she said, when it comes down to it, I don't want that in my body. I don't want that to be a part of my body. It's not viable on its own, therefore it's not a real life, so I can take it. That's all I'm going to say about that. You know what the truth is. But let me tell you, folks, the hedonistic society in which we live, the self-pleasure society in which we live, can creep into your family. The responsibilities of a woman are a God-given set of responsibilities. That's not something that the patriarchy assigned to you, okay? That's something that God says is good. And if you have an opportunity to do it, you should do it. And to you mothers who are doing it, praise the Lord for you. I know a lot of good ladies in here, a lot of you, who take care of your children. Many of you homeschool, and God bless you for it. Because what's happening in the public school, I'm sorry, you're out of tries. I don't even give them a three-strike policy. God bless the mothers who are able to do that. And those who are not, but still are careful to guard what their children learn, amen to you too. And you know what, ladies? I hope you know that we don't just honor you on one day. We thank God every single day for you. And learn how to be a pattern of holiness, set apart for God's responsibility and perfect. Look at the rest of verse 5. That the word of God be not blasphemed. It's the mom's responsibility to guard what comes into her home. The things that her children bring in. You know, the last thing I'm going to give my kid, are you ready? It's in my pocket. Are you ready? No. No, 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 no. This will raise your child. I see it now. 10 and 11-year-olds understanding things about their clothing that they just should not understand. If they need a phone for emergencies, I just saw a phone in AT&T that still flips open and flips closed. I actually picked it up and went, the good old days, you know? Y'all remember texting on that phone, T9? It wasn't, you know, you had to, if you wanted to get to the S, you had to press 5 like 3 times. And you had to wait. You know, and someone's like, hey, we're going to the movies. And you're like, that sounds G-U-D good. You know, because we don't need double O's there, you know what I'm saying? And then if you wanted to find out what was going on at the movies, you had to call the theater and listen to the okay. Anyway, look at verse 6. So, ladies, your responsibility is to guard the things that come into your home. So you don't want something else coming in there that's contrary to the Word of God, to where the Word of God would be called a liar. That's what blaspheming is. It's denial of something that is said. Verse 6, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. Oh, but Jesse, this verse says cannot be condemned, so if the world tells me I'm politically out of line for saying that, then I should change it. We're not talking about being condemned by the world. We're talking about God disagreeing with what we're saying. Sound doctrine and teaching that lines up with God's word. Speak it. Speak it lovingly. As Colossians says, season it with salt. I'll tell you this story. Kevin and I are working on the eggs this morning. God bless Kevin. He did a great job. 96 eggs in that big old bowl. And he has that little machine. He sticks it in there. Like, woo, 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 gets it all. All my responsibility was 2 tablespoons of salt. Okay? That was my only responsibility. Poured the first tablespoon. Put it in there. Wonderful. Poured the second one, and I got about 75% of it out. And someone started talking to me. And I was talking to them, and then it was over, and I thought, this is so much fun. I raised it like I was going to dash it in there like a chef, and I kid you not, here's the spoon, here's the bowl. Totally missed it. Totally missed it. I threw it, and it hit the coffee stuff, and it was just like, pfft. And I looked at Kevin, and Kevin's like, I said, Kevin, we just missed that totally. Oh, it was so sad. How do you miss salt in a bowl this big? Ask me. I'll help you figure it out. We've got to season the way we talk to people with salt so that it's well received. Do you realize a lot of Christians don't understand that today? They think that they have to be hard and fast to people that are stubborn. The Bible describes them as a stiff neck. You ever woke up with one of those? You're not looking around real quick. We need to learn how to be kind to people, but still teaching them truth. Verse 8, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Now that's how the world should receive it. And folks, that's how they receive it, and that's why they bite back. And a lot of you mothers out there who are raising your families or have raised your families correctly, you're coming under attack, or you already have come under attack. Well, you got to be more free with your kids. Free to do what? Be careful. Verse 9, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining theft, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. And we're bringing it full circle here. Verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation, our foundation, remember, that hath appeared to all men, teaching us. What does salvation do? It is supposed to not only seal and secure us positionally, justify us eternally before God, but it also continues to teach us as we learn the word. Now, what does it teach us? Denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. Ooh. We are not to live like the world. I'm going to say that one more time. We are not to live like the world. We should live, and it gives you 3 things here: soberly, righteously, and godly. Soberly means to be self-controlled inwardly. Folks, I know you know this. There are many times where you are completely composed on the outside, but on the inside it is a raging storm. And if you're not careful, this goes for mothers and for fathers, that storm comes out like a solar flare and it burns your kids. And it burns your family. And it does damage. How do we have inner peace? How do we have a controlled nature about ourselves? We submit and yield to the Spirit. We know the Word and we apply it. Self-controlled inwardly, soberly, and then also we have here righteously, which is morally upright outwardly. The way that we carry ourselves as a reflection of who we are to the world should be morally upright. We stand for moral, biblical values. I don't like the phrase fundamentalist. You're just doing what the Bible says. I don't even like the phrase conservative. It's just what the Bible teaches. People do ask. I remember we did an event last year, and I was talking with a gentleman, and he said, you know, my wife's a Catholic, and I'm a Southern Baptist, but when I drove into here, I didn't see any kind of denomination. I didn't see any identification. I spent the next 3 minutes with him explaining what we believe. Do you know what I told him? Well, we vote Republican out here, and we're... No, that's not what I said. Well, I got a sheet in the back that'll tell you who to vote for. I don't know why I'm going Southern there, but listen, that's not what I told him. This is what I told him. We teach that Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection is the full payment for any man's sin. And then I follow it up with something like, we're an independent or we're biblicists. And I walk them through what we actually believe. Because these things are important for people to understand. I have not seen him again. He said he would be here that Sunday. He didn't come. That may have been the only opportunity back there that I had with him. What we reflect outwardly should be what the Bible has taught us. And then the last one there is godly, which is reverently looking upward. Reverently, respectfully, living for the Lord. Do you know who's going to be rewarding you at the judgment seat of Christ? I'll give you a hint. It's in the name. Jesus Christ will be rewarding you. There's a teaching out there, it's very pervasive and it's very silly, that says, oh, well, we live by faith, so there's nothing left that we have to do. Don't tell me to do things. Don't tell me I have to go to church. My reward is going to be Christ. Yes, and that reward is your foundation. But he is going to reward every man according to his own work. And ladies, it takes work to protect and guard your family. But know that a breakfast on Mother's Day is not the only thing you're going to get. You will receive blessings from the Lord for that. And the persecution that you face, and the judgment that you face, and the tiredness that you have will be honored by the Lord. You raise that family right. Now, that's not a guarantee your kids are going to come out okay. Look, just that's the way it is. Be careful that we don't try to puppet their lives, you know? Yes, our children are going to make mistakes. But you know the best thing a husband and wife can do, hear me now, is be consistent. Be consistent. For the last 6 years now, we've had a missions conference here, and every year I teach something about YouTube or the technology side of ministry, because Yankee's channel just blew up, and it's quickly approaching like 17,000 subscribers if it's not already there. It's just gaining so much traction. And people tell me all the time, like, what's the secret? What's the secret? Well, first of all, teach the word of God. It will not return unto him void. Amen? The second thing is, upload consistently. Let me tell you a little secret about YouTube. They want to sell ads. They want to sell ads. If people upload content there every week, they know that they can start to push your channel what is called organically without you paying for it, because it will allow people to spend more time on the app to sell more ads. But channels don't live because they post one Tuesday here and then they post 3 weeks later and I'm not getting any views. You're not being consistent. It is the same thing within our families. It's the same thing within the local church here. This ministry needs to be consistent. Consistent about several things. Number one, the doors being open. Amen. Number two, the gospel being preached. Amen. Number three, encouragement and correction for believers. Amen? Now we get to build. I'm so excited about this addictions recovery program. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm excited that Pastor Scudder up there in Quinton Road did something, created something that can help people. I'm excited about that. It's another opportunity to serve. We love doing this kind of stuff. And it's not just for us here. And we got to put a hedge of protection around us. Don't let anybody come in from the world. You know, you were of the world one time until somebody reached you. As was I. bring the hedges down. Come on in. We've got good news for you. Look what it says here. In this present world, verses 13, 14, and 15, and we'll close. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. If there's any question if Jesus Christ is God, the Scripture confirms it right here. He is our great God, and He's our Savior, and He's coming back, and that's what we should look for. That's what we should teach our children to look for. Who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of what, church? Good works. It's enough to just say that you're saved, but we shouldn't stay there. I want to share with you a dream that I have. You can close your Bibles. I want to share with you something that's been on my heart for a long time. I don't know how we're going to do this. I don't know if we even have time to do it. You know what I'm saying? I talk to my wife and I say, honey, you know, we're talking about this, we're talking about that. And she's like, I don't know. How much time do you think we have left? And I can understand that. You know, we're getting closer and closer to the end, I think. But we, you know, like I said, we've always wanted to have children, and now this opportunity to adopt has come up, and I'm looking forward to that. But there, you know, there's been something on my mind. It's been on my mind for probably a solid 3 years now. A ministry here that has an opportunity to teach how a family is raised. Now, how do you do that? You could have a Tuesday night class. You know, you could do a series on family and all those different things. And yes, that would be good for that moment. But I really have a burden and desire, and our board knows this. I want to start a school here. I don't know how that's going to work. Have no idea. But what I've seen with ministries that have done that is they're able to come into mom and dad's home and say, this is how you raise up a child. And I think now more than ever, if we announced in the coming years a school here at Calvary Community Church, we would have a waiting list. I know of churches that are physically smaller than this building that have a waiting list that's 60, 70 families deep because parents are looking for an option. This has everything that we will ever need. Do you realize that? This is everything that we need. Teaches us how to be good mothers, how to be good fathers, how to be good children, how to be good deacons and elders, good servants for the Lord. That's all that we need. I want you to pray about that. I'm not making any kind of announcement here. We're not making any kind of financial commitment. But will you pray for that opportunity or for the Lord to be clear on that direction? Wouldn't that be wonderful if in 30 or 40 years, if we're still here, this ministry will have doubled in size and maybe have a second or third location? Because we've been able to teach what the Bible says about family. For those of you that are not familiar with the YouTube channel In Grace TV, many of you are familiar with that. They have a series that I watch every single month. It's like 2 years old now, but it's called Finish Strong, and it's a four-part series. For those of you that have been here on Sunday nights, we play it every now and then. We played the third one, and soon we'll play the fourth one. But it's a series that is about the late Dr. James Scudder. It's the boy from Kentucky who got saved, who received a call to preach, who then went to Florida Bible College and then went to Chicago and started a ministry there that has now purchased 50-something acres worth of land. They're running a preschool. They're running a regular school. And they're training people how to live godly, soberly, and righteously, zealous unto good works. That resonates with me. Because let me tell you, I'm just a simple Florida boy. My wife and I were driving out to Brooksville the other day, and I told her, I said, I don't think we're going anywhere else. You know, like, we'll travel to all these different places, but I think I'm gonna be born in Tampa, and I'm going to die here, you know? And then I said, watch when God calls us to the woods of Oregon in 10 years. Wouldn't that be interesting? I really feel called to be here. I want to serve you. But I want to serve beyond you as well. And the best thing that we can do together as the body of Christ is to teach our children to honor one another in our marriages. And on a day like today where you're going to go out after this and you're going to have a good time with family, you're going to honor your mothers, your grandmothers, and that is a wonderful thing. Please don't let that be just today. Please don't let that just be something we do once a year. Love the people in your life more than just flowers or chocolates or a nice word every once in a while. Live for the Lord and encourage them to do the same. When we have family gatherings where all of our family gets together, it's basically Kyla's side of the family, there's a lot. They always ask me to pray before the meal. And I appreciate that. My mother-in-law, probably about 3 or 4 years ago, she nudged me and she said, "You're going to give the gospel, right?" And I'm like, "We're praying for Grammy Sammys, you know, like these, it's like tuna fish, you know, like, what? The gospel?" I give it every single time now. Yesterday, we were at an event. I prayed for the food, and then we had cake after, and they wanted prayer for that. They heard the gospel again. And sometimes, y'all, praying for cake, "Lord, bless this food. You're asking for a miracle." You know? I've been staying away from sugar for a little bit, and I had a piece of cake yesterday, and I was like, "Whoa!" I was like, "Ooh, it's a little too rich for my blood now." Well, what do I mean by the gospel? Ladies, what is the most important thing that you can share with your kids? So if I can quote that little 3-year-old girl, "Mommy, I'm not a sin person anymore." How can we share the most important news of all the world? Please look up here. This hand will represent you and me, and my wallet will represent sin. I put this on top of my hand because the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." God, He loves us very much, and I'll show you that in a moment. But He hates this sin because this sin separates us from Him. In order to go to heaven, we have to be perfect, just like God, but we all have fallen short. That's what the word sin means in the original language. It means to miss the mark. But let me tell you, God loves you so much that He would rather die than live without you. But there is a penalty for this sin, and it is death. And that's not just death as in we stop living and we're annihilated and we just poof, disappear. You know, nature doesn't condone that either. Energy just keeps going. Things don't just merely snap out of existence. Someone has to die for this sin. I don't want that to be you. Any of you here that would have to spend an eternity in a literal fire-burning hell for nothing. For someone who already took your place. The Bible also is so very clear, please catch me here, so very clear, that there are no good works that we could ever do to earn eternal life. You can't even start to chip away at the debt. But I go to church, but I read my Bible, I pray, I give faithfully, I'm a kind person. All those things are good, but it's like going to dinner in a little bit and paying with Monopoly money. It's not a valid currency. Somebody's got to die for this sin. This hand will represent Jesus Christ. And I'm going to say this, the Lord Jesus Christ, not because I made Him Lord, because He is the Lord. And that's just for the sake of this illustration, my hand to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Earlier I told you that God loves you and He hates this sin. Here's what He did for you without even asking you if it was okay or if He could do it for you. For God so loved the world, that's you and me, that He gave His only begotten Son, that's Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Did you catch that? Whosoever. Well, Jesse, you don't know me. I know I don't know you, but God does. And He died for you anyway. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, let me show you that again, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God laid the wrath of himself upon his son. He was bruised for our iniquities. And he did go to that grave. And 3 days later, he came back, just like he said he would. And he lives forevermore today. And he taught his disciples. And he ascended, and those disciples received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and they were performing miracles as the gospel was rolling out. And now, if you are here today, you can receive that same Holy Spirit by simply believing on Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection for the full payment of your sin. And when you share the gospel with someone else, you're doing greater works than what Jesus himself even did. And that's not a blasphemy to say. He says that in the scripture. Let me ask you a question. We'll get straight to the point. Do you know for sure that when you die, you'd be in heaven? If you don't, I want to lovingly plead with you to place your faith in Jesus Christ and in him alone. The moment you do, you're passed from death unto life. You'll never be brought into condemnation again. Will you pray with me, please? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. If you're here this morning, and you have yet to believe on Jesus Christ as your Savior, meaning he paid for your sins, was buried and rose again, would you do so right now? I'm praying for you. This is not meant to be an emotional moment. I'm not trying to pull at your heartstrings here. I simply want you to receive the truth. If you believed on Jesus for the first time, would you simply raise your hand and let me know? Raising your hand doesn't save you. I just want to pray for you. Is there anyone at all before we close? Heads are bowed and eyes are still closed. Moms out there, we love you. The Lord loves you more. Your responsibility is precious to him. It's a part of the order that he has set up. Don't think that you have any that you don't have any value. You are incredibly valuable to the Lord and to your families. Fathers, support your wives. Love them. Speak kindly to them. Demonstrate a pattern of works that gives them the safety and security that they need. Children, obey. Obey, and there will be many blessings given to you as a result of that. And to this local church, serve. We need to serve. Father, thank you for this time. I ask that you bless all of those that are here. Thank you for the great fellowship this morning. Bring us back here safely for our service this evening. Be with Mr. Gilbert as he gives the message and Trent as he leads the prayer meeting on Wednesday night.